Here we are again, Brew Chatters, back at it for episode 127. I'm Tanner, your host. In this episode, we've got Natalie Cook joining us from the Chattanooga Breakfast Rotary Club, and she helps throw that Brew Skies Festival that's coming up here in April, April 14th to be exact. So she's joining us to tell us a little bit about that festival, what home brews are going to be down there, what other brews are going to be down there, what kind of food they've got down there, all that good stuff. But I'll let her talk about that here in a bit. But in the meantime, I want to remind you guys, get down to Riverside Wine and Spirits. It's Chattanooga's number one shop for fine wines and craft beers. And we started posting our pictures of what beers we're having on the show that they're slinging our way each week. So you've got a whole week to go get the beers for next week. So go down there, get the Brew Chat six pack, ask them for it, or just look it up yourself and put the six pack together yourself, whatever. But go down there, get your beers for the show, and you can drink right along with us. I also want to remind you guys that Big River Brewing is debuting their Fire Chief Red on March 8th at 5:30 to 7:30, and Nick Lutzko is going to be there. And 25 cents of each of those beers sold is going to go to the Forgotten Child Fund. Again, that's March 8th, Fire Chief Red, Nick Lutzko, 5:30 to 7:30 at Big River Brewing. Last thing, I want to remind you guys that Brew Skies, the Brew Skies Festival, second annual, is going to be down at the Chattanooga Choo Choo on April 14th, also from 5 to 9. They've got a special early release, which is 4 to 9. So, but again, I'll let Natalie tell you about that. In the meantime, this episode, we're headed to Belgium. Should be a good time. We're taking Natalie to Belgium with us. We've got some Berliner Weiss. We've got a Grisette Ale. We've never had one of those, I don't think. So, and I'm excited about that. And then we've got a Goza, but they're all traditional Belgian styles from Belgium. There we go. Got it right. Anyway, I'm going to stop babbling. Let's let Natalie babble a little bit. Let's get into it. Here's episode 127 of the Brew Chat Podcast. And there's the fade out. Here we are.
I like the fade
out. We are back in. I like the fade out. Yeah. We're here with Natalie Cook. You're with the Breakfast Rotary Club, and I like to think that you just run that shit. You're with the Brew Skies Festival Breakfast Rotary Club of Chattanooga. And here to try some beers with us this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I do not, in fact, run all of the shit. I'm a member of the Chattanooga Breakfast Rotary Club. We have four clubs in the Chattanooga and Cleveland area, and we're the kind of small, like really hands-on service projects kind of club. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of fun. We're about 35, 40 members at any given time. We're the ones that put on Brew Skies Beer and Food Festival. This is our second year. Mm-hmm. And we're really pumped to be promoting this and getting some home brewers and some local and regional breweries in. And can't wait to see everybody on April 14th.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
No, it was a really good time last year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But it's in a different spot now. It's right over at the Choo Choo, right?
Yeah, so last year we shut down Chestnut Street out in front of Chattanooga Brewing between there and Finley Stadium. And this year, we're planning to go bigger. Last year, we sold out at 300 tickets, and that was just our capacity based on how much beer and food we had. And got really great reviews. People asked us to go bigger this year, so we found a new venue. We're going to be in the gardens behind the Chattanooga Choo Choo, which is going to be really cool. You've got kind of that covered walkway areas where all the vendors will be, and kind of a lot of room to spread out, move around. So we're really excited about the venue change.
Sorry, Tanner looks like he's having some problems.
No, these are some straight up Hillary pours.
They're looking pretty rough.
They're terrible. I know how to pour beer, but
Tanner, we have a beer
pour
podcast.
That. You should pour
know,
that.
You should know how to do
pour it better.
We already have like eight of them over here.
Well, whatever. Pour it better.
I will.
This is now a pouring competition.
It bubbles up. It's
pretty bubbly.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Walking tall.
It's bubbly. All right. Well, whatever. This, by the way, is the Tool, I guess. Tool. It's hard to, I don't know how you pronounce that O with the slash through it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun with the names.
I don't even know what that letter's called.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But this is this the fuck art? No, this is the Goes to Hollywood. Goes like Goza.
Goza to Hollywood.
Goza to Hollywood. It's a Goza Ale brewed with oranges. Blah, 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 blah. 3.8%, 500 milliliters. And then there's some stuff that's in another language. Imported in Belchertown, Massachusetts. Where is it actually? Belgium. Product of Belgium. Lacristi.
Yeah, did you get the memo? We're going to Belgium tonight.
I'm just trying to see where. Lacristi Hoofdi Belgium.
I'm sure that was super accurate.
Yeah. Tulle. It's probably like Tulle then. If it's Belgian, it's like Tulle. Yeah, you can have your pick.
Yeah, it's got that circle with the line, the O with the line through it.
Yeah.
Tulle.
Yeah.
It's Belgian. I guess we got all these then.
And it's got a focus chart on the front of the can.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
If you've ever worked in live event production, you'll recognize the front of the can.
And then like smoke and explosion or whatever in the background. It's neat. It's tall boy.
It's pretty tasty. It's
it smells good.
I'm still trying to get a feel for it.
It's very bubbly.
But yeah, anyway. So yeah, anyway, back to Bruce Guys for a minute while mm-hmm. we're trying to get a feel for this beer. So you got it at the Choo Choo this year. What are there any big changes as far as brewers go this mm-hmm. year? Like, what's going on with that?
Yeah, so we've got a homebrew competition. That's kind of the heart mm-hmm. and soul of this festival. That's what makes it kind of really different, bringing in all these different kinds of beer that you can't get in a store anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we have a competition. We have a judge's choice and a people's choice. We are still accepting folks wanting to enter. So we're requesting 10 gallons of each beer entered in the competition. You can enter as many as you want. And there's no entry fee. You actually get 2 free tickets for each 10 beers entered. Right. So you can bring your own and then have a friend come with you. Mm-hmm. And we're really excited. We've got most of the home brewers who were there last year coming back this year, which is really exciting for us. And then we have a number of the local breweries who have signed up. So I know we've got Hutton and Smith is going to be there. Odd Story. Nice. Let me get out my handy list here.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, we like lists here.
All right. Yeah, so we've got, let's see, Barley Mob is bringing quite a bit. They brought a good deal last year. They always have really good stuff.
Yeah, those are our buddies, too. We're awesome. In with them.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so Normal Brewing is coming back again. Monkey Town Brewing. Is it 3585 Brewing?
3585. Were they there last year?
I don't recognize the name.
Yeah, because I've... Yeah.
Yeah, so we're excited to have them. S&B Brewing, Big River just signed on.
Oh, cool.
Nice. They're a newcomer. TNT Brewing, they make the rounds on all the homebrew circuit stuff, so we're excited to have them back.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, let's see. We've got, Hutton and Smith, and then we're going to have Bell's coming as well, Driveway Brewworks, and it looks like that's what we've got registered so far. So we're really hoping that we'll get some more. Our ability to sell tickets, we can really scale this thing pretty big. Mm-hmm. It's just dependent on making sure we have plenty of beer for everybody that we sell tickets to and don't run out.
Right.
So we are still accepting both local breweries, looking at all craft beer, but mm-hmm. especially home brewers to enter. We got some fun prizes. We're going to have barrels again this year with the Bruce Guys logo on the side. And then there's a food competition too. So we're targeting amateur, just home cooking enthusiasts, as well as pro chefs or restaurants who want to enter. We're asking them to stick with a theme of like anything in a little tortilla or a tiny bun. So like tacos and sliders.
Okay, yeah.
Street just like food. All, yeah, kind of a street food kind of mm-hmm. deal. And one of our big sponsors is Food City. And so all of those non-restaurant teams that enter will get compensated with gift cards to Food City to help cover the cost of the ingredients and everything.
Shit. Okay. That's pretty nice. Yeah.
And then the prize for the winning food team is several hundred dollars in Food City gift cards as well. So,
all right.
So that recoups and gets you groceries for a minute.
Yeah. So
nice.
We're pretty excited about that. So we've got a lot of the same groups coming back this year, mm-hmm. and then we're continuing every couple of days to get new teams adding on, and we're excited to get more people out there. It was a good time last year.
I had a great time last year. I'm glad you guys are scaling it up. I'm really glad you moved it to the Choo Choo because mm-hmm. it was a little hot.
It was, and it was midday last year. Yeah. It was like the first really hot day of the year, and everyone was just kind of baking, but there was enough beer that nobody like really cared.
Yeah.
Which was helpful. Yeah. But we moved it to an evening time this year. There's shade, there's gonna be more seating. Mm-hmm. And we also have an option for an early entry ticket this year. You pay $10 more and you can get in at 4 o'clock. So the judging is going to be happening from 4 to 5 as well, but you can get in and like make sure like if any of the homebrewers only brought like a really small batch of any of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead and make sure you get, you know, taste of that before they're gone. So it's only $10 more. So it's $35 for a regular ticket, which is from 5 to 9 and it's all you can eat and drink. And then $35 is regular, $45 is early admission, get in at 4. And then we have a $15 DD ticket if you don't want to drink.
Okay. Oh, nice. And you can just go and munch down.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty sweet.
That's great. Yeah.
What as far as the judging goes, is what's that based on? Is that based on a BJCP sheet or like the official judges?
You're going to have to ask someone with a lot more official knowledge of beer than I do. Yeah.
Okay. So you're not running that.
Definitely not that side of it. No, I am on the, committee, but we have a like beer chair. We have a food chair. I help out with promotions and some just sort of general organization. But we do have a whole committee that works on this event. They're awesome. We've had most of the same people come back again to organize it this year, which we're having a lot of fun with. And then our entire club and sort of all of our club's family, significant others, friends pitch in and volunteer to really staff and run the event. So it's a lot of fun. And then all the proceeds go to the Chattanooga Breakfast Rotary Club service projects, which are focused on local schools in primarily the Hickson area, doing different service projects there. And then also some global service projects, including some sanitation projects in Haiti.
That's cool. I remember last year you guys, and I'm going to dumb this down and make it sound really dumb, I feel. And not that's not on purpose. That's just because when I talked to somebody last year about it at the festival, I had had a couple beers in me. So, but you guys were sending, it was like thesauruses or something around the world?
So we have a kind of character development program that we do in Hickson area elementary schools.
Yeah.
So our club members go in several times a year to the different Hickson public elementary schools, and we go over sort of the guiding standards of Rotary International that we call the four-way test. And it's kind of just a character-based, like how to make good decisions that are fair to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then along with that, we give out free dictionaries and thesauruses to every student. Yeah. So, and then in Haiti, we do clean water and sanitation projects. So you might remember from Brew Skies last year, we had a toilet on a rolling platform and it had like plexiglass over it with a hole cut in it for donations. Mm-hmm. It lights up. It's amazing. And I don't know if you recall how much fun people had with this rolling toilet going down Chestnut Street last year after a certain point in the festival. So once everybody had had just enough tastings, that was by far the most popular part of the event. It was hysterical. There were some amazing shots all over social media.
That was a good time. There's a bunch of photos on the Brew Chat page that we ended up taking of just people loved that toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That toilet was a good time.
Pretty fun. Yeah.
Which, good on you, because now that I'm thinking about it, I've never spoken that sentence, nor do I think people have ever had that much fun on a toilet at a party.
I really hope you're right.
Yeah.
Not in public anyway.
Man, people had so much fun on that toilet. Like, okay. Yeah. Out of context, that's a weird... Anyway, digressing. No, that's super interesting. So all the proceeds go to the Breakfast Rotary Club. And what if you want to sign up for the Rotary Club? Is that a thing you can do and just be like, I want to join this? And
absolutely. Yeah. So anyone is welcome to come to any of our meetings. We meet at 7:30 every Friday morning at Rivermont Presbyterian Church. They allow us space and we have a catered breakfast. And so guests are welcome to come anytime you like and just you sign in as a guest and we'll introduce you. We have a speaker program. We have like 15 minutes of just kind of club business and then a half hour speaker program where you kind of get to know a lot of stuff about various organizations and entities and individuals across the community. So it's a really good way to just get plugged into both service projects and learning more about the Chattanooga area in general. And we'd love for folks to come in as guests, and then you're absolutely welcome to apply to join. We have a lot of fun in our little group, and we're always looking for new members who are ready to have fun and serve the community.
Yeah. No, we're all about that here. We like to drink for the kids here.
We appreciate that deeply.
Yeah.
We really do.
We really like to drink coffee.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, somebody does. But no, that's awesome. Because I've always been a little confused on what the Rotary Club does. Mm-hmm. But that clears it up actually quite a bit. And I asked somebody last year, but like I said, I'd had a couple.
So Rotary International, we have clubs in almost every country in the world, 1.2 million members around the world. And it's really a group of neighbors and friends and community leaders, mm-hmm. Just focused on improving the world, making change, and working together to do it. And being leaders both in our communities at home and internationally. Mm-hmm. So there are some coordinated international efforts. One of particular note that's been going on for the last couple of decades is Rotary really threw its full force behind eradicating polio. Mm. And it's always interesting to talk to people of our generation about that. We're like, oh, Rotary, you know, really helped eradicate polio worldwide. I mean, there's a handful of cases a year now in, I think, two countries at this point.
Yeah, good job on that.
Yeah, yeah, like, but our generation's like, polio, that's a thing that I read about in, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
right.
You know, classic lit, you know, that's not a thing that we know anybody who's ever had polio. So yeah, it's like, right. Thanks, Rotary, because they actually took care of it, you know. So Rotary partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to fund polio vaccines around the world. And that's ongoing work still.
Yeah, that's great.
That's crazy. I had no idea about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what is this? Super ignorant. What is polio? Like, what are the symptoms?
I don't know symptoms necessarily. I know you get really sick and it makes your legs stop working.
Is that what FDR had?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But there is a vaccine. It's like an oral drops. And so we have teams that go out all over the world. I mean, it's been more prevalent in, you know, in the last number of decades in really rural areas that don't get necessarily a lot of medical services. Mm-hmm. And so Rotarian teams go out into extremely remote areas all over the world for the last few decades, administering these vaccinations to kids.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is really badass.
Yeah. So come drink some beer and stop polio.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, I'm all about that. Drink to stop polio and drink for the kids. Yeah. God, we need a third, I feel. Like
there's plenty
we
of
need a tagline.
Plenty of things.
Yeah,
to drink
I gotta balance
for
it.
For like kids, we could find a way to like drink and kill Scientology.
Yeah.
That would be a perfect third.
Yeah.
Oh jeez. So let's jump back to this beer for a second, because we've had a minute to taste it.
I think it's pretty good. I like it.
It's really good, but it's kind of bland.
I don't know. It's got a fruity nose.
It's a little tart.
It's tart, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's definitely
that's all I'm getting is tartness. It smells good though.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh, you get that fruity flavor in there, like the, let's say mango or something.
I get a great fruity mango taste.
Oranges. I don't really get oranges. I get closer to like mango or passion fruit.
I could see that.
Maybe some clementines. So like a little sweeter than an orange.
Mm. I feel like we could discern a lot more if any of us could speak Dutch reading this can.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's how it would be in Belgium. I always wondered why Germany was Deutschland.
And the Dutch aren't Deutschland.
Yeah.
Dutchland.
Well, I guess in Belgium they speak French.
Really?
I think part of it speaks Dutch still.
Well, this is
it's mostly French speaking.
You were talking about how you had went on a trip over there to like Bruges and stuff. I've always wanted to go to Bruges.
It was really cool. Yeah, it's an awesome area. My best friend and I did a cycling trip from Amsterdam to Bruges. And so you're going kind of like through Flanders and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so you've got all these really old breweries through there. And there's
like, oh,
super old. Yeah.
Breweries.
Yeah. A lot of them still in kind of the old monasteries and everything.
Like the people that started them aren't alive breweries.
For sure.
Yeah. No.
Like many, many generations dead.
That's crazy to me. Like, that's insane to me.
Neat. And the recipe hasn't changed according to any of the bottles.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, this goes to Hollywood is, I don't know, it's lacking a little. It's kind of weak. You're right. Maybe that's because the like fizziness.
Well, I mean,
it
is a little weak. It's 3.8%.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, just by definition, it's a little weak. So it's going to be weak on everything.
Yeah.
But on a hot summer day, I could pound this.
I would drink this by the pool all day.
Yeah. It's a good pool beer.
Good pool beer. It's light, hazy. Kind of straw colored and lots and lots and lots of.
I almost, even though you don't typically do this with the style, but toss an orange wedge in here. If it's already got oranges in it, accentuate that a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to bring a flavor. It's not
bad. But again, by the pool, it needs an orange wedge and a pool.
Verdict rendered.
like 5.5 or something. We have like an arbitrary rating system that we give everything.
On a scale of?
1 to 10.
1 to 10. It goes on 0.5s. And yeah, it's arbitrary. It's just kind of what you feel.
Yeah.
If it's arbitrary, what if you really feel like it needs to be a non like 0.5 decimal? What if it...
Then that's fine. Yeah,
we
yeah,
down to like 5.7.
See, I don't get 10s. There's okay. no such thing as a 10. So
maybe you just haven't met a 10 yet.
That's what I think.
It's just out there.
And yeah. if I do meet a 10, I don't know if I'll know if it's a 10 when I meet a 10.
So. We've met some good ones, though.
Yeah.
We met some 9.5ers.
Yeah.
A couple.
Yeah. We've had some 9.5ers.
Yeah. But this I'd say maybe like 5.5.
Yeah.
It's a little weak. If it was super hot, if this was middle of the summer and I was at the pool, it'd be a toss of a different color.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to open this fuck art one next because it, I may need to get the other bottle of this.
Is it called that actually spelled in English or are we like
yeah,
doing quite. Something with an, a no, non-English let me get the other language that thing that we're mispronouncing
it is,
here?
It is also by Tool and it is called Fuck Art, the Heathens Are Coming.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And it is a grisette ale and I'm not sure exactly what that is.
Yeah, I was told the whole reason we got sent to Belgium this week is I was talking to our boy Travis down at Riverside Wine and Spirits, and I picked this up. I noticed the label. I was like, is this label misprinted or something? So I picked it up to look at it, noticed it wasn't, and I asked that. I was like, what the fuck is a grisette ale?
Yeah.
And I asked him, and he was like, oh, it should be kind of dry, something like that, and... You know, it was a week and a half ago when I was down there, people. I don't remember exactly what he said. But it led us on this trail to Belgium. So we've got a couple that are, it should be similar to this.
Yeah, that's how it's
about. Yeah.
Yeah, when I looked at the label, I thought maybe you had left it on something wet and all of the like colored printing had rubbed off.
Oh, God.
Oh!
there's nothing I can do about that.
Oh, that's why this sponge rug is here.
Having a little bit of a mess situation on our hands. Okay.
No, I have like this hemp sponge rug on the floor for that very reason. This thing has soaked up so much beer.
I bet it smells wonderful.
Oh, it's great.
All right. Give me a second. I need to untether myself.
Yeah, just so you guys know, this thing just exploded all over the place.
Was not ready.
I mean, this was like the Android theory.
No, that thing shot up to the ceiling.
That is true. It shot. It had a spray, like a flow coming out of the top.
Now being handled in like a children's sand bucket.
I'm curious. I'm gonna open the second one just because I'm curious here.
Oh, but look at that.
Oh, that looks delightful. Thank you.
Yeah, the second one wasn't nearly as violent, I don't think.
No, but it still did it.
Which is weird because this one was the one that was sitting sideways in the fridge. It makes no sense. So there's that. I hope that one tastes decent because we opened two bottles of it. Sometimes we've gotten beers on here that's just like, why? I mean, it's like, why did you people bother?
It smells funky.
Send these ingredients to a competent person.
Ooh.
It looks juicy.
Wait, is this the one you poured for me?
Yes.
Yeah. Smells good. It's a little footy.
It is kind of footy. Cheesy.
Yeah, it smells a little footy.
I don't know I would have gone there, but now that you said it, I can't unsmell it.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Well, there's some weird things. And it's not always a bad thing. Like, we've been really getting into this like haystack horse shit smell of beer recently, which is just a really thick, swampy IPA.
Mm.
But we had one, I don't know, maybe four or five episodes, six episodes ago. No joke, it smelled like horse shit in a hayfield in front of a barn.
I really hope that wasn't some sort of infusion situation happening.
It was delicious, though. It was so good.
Really?
It was so good. And I don't know, it's just weird. Because you get conditioned to where I think we are now, where we're like, a little bit of horse shit. That's that's pretty tasty. Yeah. And like foot. Like this smells like...
I think it could go with, rather than horse shit, like earthy tones.
Yeah, earthy, but that's not as fun. Yeah. But earthy is different than horse shit. Like this
that's
smell.
True. Because, yeah. I mean... Earthy, it's like dirt, clay.
Horse shit sounds really bad, but it's really not that bad. Like I grew up in the middle of nowhere.
My mom loves that smell.
Because it's not like dog shit where there's meat in there. It's all grass and or human shit, you know, and it's just grass and hay. And so there's not really a gross smell about it. You associate that it's gross. Like you see a horse turd and you're like, oh, it's a turd. Oh, it's gross. It smells bad. But if you really start to analyze the smell, it's not really, I'm not saying it's a good smell, but it's not really a bad smell.
It's like
a
sweetness in there.
Yeah, and it's got hay and some grass, and there's like a tinge of dirt, but also like freshly cut grass. Yeah.
I think I've not spent nearly as much time in a barn as you have.
Well, no, I've just studied horse shit. We're about to start horse shit chat here soon. That's our follow-up podcast.
I believe you did mention something about barn chat.
Well, this smells like a fine Palomino. Right? Yeah, but it does. It really...
Clydesdale. I love Clydesdale. Yeah,
it was a good... It was a
but
good
on
smell.
On horseshit chat, then are you like analyzing it like this really smells like a really good stout? Like no, yeah, I'm getting more of a porter tone. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing though, is you would pretty much only get a horseshit smell in an IPA, I think.
I could see that. Because I'm not an IPA fan. So,
Like you could maybe get it in a Saison, maybe.
Yeah, you can get them all sorts of places.
But I've only experienced that in an IPA.
Well, now I'm going to be on the lookout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go back. It's, I think I even put in our little blurb about the episode, like this beer smelled like horse shit, but in the best possible way. I'm trying to think what it was, but yeah, it was tasty. It was a good beer though. It was a good IPA. I want to say it was, what's that one we love? The Bearded Iris. I think it was from Bearded Iris in Nashville.
Okay.
That's good.
I can't remember which one it was specifically. It was not the Homestyle IPA, but it was from Bearded Iris, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we got on a stint of IPAs there for about 4 episodes, and it's in one of those. But yeah, it was horse shitty, but in a good way.
They should put that on the label.
Yeah, horse shitty, but in a good way.
But if you drink as much beer as us, I would read that and be like, huh.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what I was looking for. I wish this one wasn't as flat. Could be because it exploded all over my lap.
There's that.
We've got that other bottle there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did not explode nearly as much all over my lap. That's cool. It's not bad. It's sweet. I wish it was crisper, but yeah, it is kind of juicy like how it looks, like juice or like a mimosa.
And this one's 5.4, so I'm liking this one a little more.
But like an apple juice mimosa.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's very like apple juice looking, like cloudy apple juice.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm going to describe this label here because, like you said, Natalie, it looks like it got wet and just got runt. But yeah, it's completely white except in the four corners in seemingly no order. They've got a picture of Stonehenge in the left-hand corner, some pictures of some... It's not even full pictures. It's like clips of pictures.
Yeah, it's like someone
like a bad Photoshop job.
Yeah, they drag the picture so that only a little bit of each side is showing on the damn thing.
They've got a picture of a guy holding a Viking helmet or maybe a turtle. I think it's a Viking helmet in the upper right-hand corner and then some cells and then some more cells in another little picture. It's a weird label, and that's why I grabbed it.
It is.
It's a strange label.
It looks
label.
Like weird label. When I just am like screwing around in Canva with my extremely limited graphic design skills and then accidentally hit download when I was not remotely done, and it just turned out like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't get the madness behind that at all.
Fuck art.
But hey, it sold a beer. Yeah. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that has grabbed a beer based on that. So, but again, this one, this Grisette Ale, it's not bad, but it's not really.
Yeah,
not
I'll try the one. Yeah, I'll try the one that didn't explode, but I would really like it if it was a little more crisp.
What do you mean crisp? Because I feel like mine's crisp.
Kind of, but like more like in the back, in the middle of your tongue. Kind of like something hitting you right there. It just sort of flows over it, and I wish it stopped, like poked me a little.
It is very flat, though. It may just be that before.
Yeah.
I wanted to dance on my palate, you know what I'm saying?
Let's see here.
With something, for a beer with the name Fuck in the name of it, I feel like it should be a little more in your face.
Yeah, I expect something a bit more
robust.
It's
like, fuck art. It's not just like, yeah, the art's okay.
I
feel like that's really the flavor profile of this one. It's all right.
It's okay. Yeah. It's
the half. This should be like anarchist.
I don't love the art.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's more like, passive aggressive.
I've had better art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Try that. That's got a bit more bubbly to it.
You call that art? Okay. That's cool. I mean, I wouldn't hang it on my refrigerator, but.
Yeah, the label screams anarchy to me, but then it's a guy that just like, I don't feel too good. I'm not going to go to the riot. I don't think it's better. Or I do think it's better.
That's way better. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder why that one exploded so.
Mm. I don't know.
Yeah. Better.
But it is. It's super better. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I'm bumped that. That's not bad. I can get that like a.
So I'll go with the first. I'll go with like a 4. I'll put this one about 7.5.
I was going to say a 7.5. Yeah.
I feel like the non-exploded bottle is a little more like, you know what? Screw that art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second thought.
It's got
like,
a little more conviction.
Yeah, fuck you know what?
Art. You know what? Yeah.
You know what? Fuck it.
At first, I was really, really strong feelings about it. And I was like, fuck the art. And then I was like, I don't know. Maybe not so much. But yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah. Fuck that art. The heathens are coming. I don't know what that has to do with it. I don't know if that's actually part of the
I wonder if that's title. What the Viking hat is about.
Maybe. Did they maybe burn art? I know they raped and pillaged. I assume they probably burned some art.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little bit dyslexic. When I first grabbed this beer, I thought it said the Heathers. I thought it said the Heathers were coming for days.
The Heathers are coming.
I really did.
Well, look, I screwed it up too when I was writing this thing down. It's a good thing I remembered it said heathens because that
the heathens. Really,
it looked like the heathas. Yeah.
Heathers. So you can't write and I can't read.
So yeah, it could be.
Co-host pretty sure of the Brew Chat podcast.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, we got this. We got this. We can do it.
Let's get into this last one here.
Okay.
I'm excited about this one, actually.
The 1800s. This is Dr. Fritz Brehm.
Oh, that's a name.
The 1809 Berliner Weiss.
Ooh.
Dr. Fritz Brehm. And it's really hard to pick that out of all those words that are on the bottle because there are a shit ton of words on that bottle.
Looks like medieval manuscript illumination art.
Yeah.
That sounded great. I'll have to edit that out.
Okay, yeah, so we got a whole bunch of flavor text on here. Oh, Jesus. Okay. This is kind of hard to follow, but we'll see how I do.
Let me finish pouring already and then you follow.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. I was in the middle of a process here.
I got excited. Just the name Dr. Fritz Brehm kind of
is that the
me...
name of the that's beer or the brewery?
Yes, that's the brewery. The beer is 1809, and it's a Berliner Weiss. We find it's easier to rate the beers once we've tried all the beers. So, like, sometimes I'll get ahead of myself and start rating beers all over the place. But after, like, since it's arbitrary anyway, we sort of compare them to each other and change the numbers as we go. So, yeah.
Whoa, this one's interesting smelling. There's like bananas in there. There's a, like you can smell it's malty, but with bananas.
It's really malty.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a novel on this bottle. Already in the 1600s, the Berliner Weiss style beer was mentioned in documents by the French reformers. I don't know why they changed the font on that word.
Yeah, see, it's tricky.
As they crossed Berlin on their way to Flanders... I read that weird, but that's what it said. In 1809, the Emperor Napoleon...
Was that also in a different font?
Yeah, no, they changed the fonts on different words on this label. In 1809, the Emperor Napoleon and his troops celebrated their Prussian victory with this beer. The Berliner Weiss-style beer is brewed with traditional mash hopping, and they spelled hopping wrong, unless that's like...
Hoping?
Yeah, it looks like hoping.
Mash hoping.
And without wort boiling. This, along with a traditional strain of lactic acid bacteria, provide a fruity and dry but palatable character, a character that Napoleon and his troops characterized as lively and elegant.
That's our standard. Is it or is it not lively and elegant?
Well, yeah. And it's got his little hat on here. A historic signature series, Forgotten Styles brewed according, or this is part of the historic signature series, Forgotten Styles brewed according to this historic recipes by Dr. Fritz Brehm of the Domens Institute.
Oh, no. This has got a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot going on.
It's way maltier than I like.
Well, and compared to those last two, I mean,
yeah,
these are bad dates, and then you hit this one.
Now, is this one supposed to be aged for a while? Because I got an old bottled on date here. I'm going to let you take a guess. Berliner Weiss, I mean, you can age them kind of. I guess you got the stuff in there. You want to take a guess at the date this was bottled?
I'm going to say it's a year old.
You want to take a guess at the date this was bottled? We'll go year.
Wild stab.
Tanner's saying 2017. You're saying 2016. We got July 25th, 2014.
Whoa.
So we both lost like prices, right? Because we both went over,
yeah,
right?
Went over. Yeah. 2014. Damn. It's a little old. So that's why I'm trying to say, I don't know. Wish I could have tried it 5 years ago. Mm. 4 years ago, I guess. But
yeah, this beer is four years old. 3.5, but damn.
Yeah.
Just sitting on a shelf, not even in a pipe in somebody's yard.
Nope. Yeah, right? That's a crazy story. He just buries stuff in his yard to age it.
Yeah, we had this guy on here a couple weeks ago that buries beers and PVC pipes in his backyard.
For what purpose? Just to age them.
Which is actually not a bad idea if you don't have a cellar. It's just...
That's so interesting.
So ridiculous to me. It makes sense. I get the method behind the madness, but it's so outrageous to me that I'm like... I get
it. Can you imagine what his neighbors think watching him dig holes and put PVC pipe and like swirling beer?
Little capsules buried like 4 feet deep.
Yeah. Do you think that they actually believe there's beer in the bottles? Like, I feel like there's probably a lot of theories around it if you're just watching him out your window.
Well, apparently what he says, he gets out there late at night because he works in restaurants. So he's out there like 2 a.m.
digging holes. Because
some rep or somebody's come by the restaurant and given him... some rare beer, and he's just out there, you know, getting drunk and digging holes. It's
like the scene from, was it Tom Hanks movie, The Burbs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was such a good movie.
This guy's like the Burbs of beer.
Yeah. His backyard looks like that Shia LaBeouf movie. Holes. God. Just there's little mounds of dirt. They're just like, maybe he's just the worst pet owner ever.
Because there are a lot of guinea pigs.
Yeah. A lot of hamsters and guinea pigs. And then the guinea pigs started fighting the hamsters, and then it came a war, and it just
put all the betta fish in one tank together.
One time in college, I tried to breed betta fish for no real reason.
I bet they lasted about 5 minutes before they killed each other.
No, they actually survived for a minute. You got to get them adjusted, but they needed a bang, and it just never happened.
Poor bastards.
And because I wanted a bunch of baby betta fish. No, for no real reason. I didn't know what I was going to do with a bunch of baby betta fish once I had them. Let them fight.
Feed them to the adults.
Yeah. Let them battle.
Make a betta fish fighting ring kind of situation in your dorm room.
Yeah, just create a tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tournament of champions.
Oh, you call it the better beta battle. And then you write a whole bunch of Dr. Seuss stuff about it.
I think that's where One Fish, Two Fish came from.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Are there red beta fish for redfish, blue fish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's all colors of beta fish.
They are red and blue and green and yeah.
Oh,
One Fish, Two Fish is just like the first chapter of that book.
Right.
It starts with
it gets real dark after that, right?
Like 50,000 blue fish, 50,000 red fish. Yeah. And then it just keeps counting down until the victor. But it's it's like during the World Cup. You don't always care about the qualifier matches. That's what
That's because 50,000 soccer. So yeah, I don't.
But he doesn't like soccer.
Not soccer.
Mm. I like soccer. You like FIFA though.
I mean, it's a video.
We have played enough FIFA you cannot say that you don't like it. Because I refuse to believe that you're just that good of a friend that you're like, well,
I've
he likes it.
So I guess I'll play like it for you, Tanner. I forced myself to like it because I paid money for it, and I goddamn will enjoy it. That's what.
It's
fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun kicking the ball around and stuff. It's fun to play with the really good teams, and it's fun to play with the really bad teams because they just kick the ball all over the damn place, and it doesn't make any fucking sense. But anyway, I think this beer is kind of old. And
yeah, I think it's
kind of
old.
Like
the more, I mean, I'm sure it works. But I wouldn't pay for it.
We have a second one of these in there.
Unless it is meant to taste like this and it's supposed to be aged. Because there's some stuff down there. After Jordan left Riverside, he had a bunch of stuff aging in the back. So it could be one of those.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Could just be old. I don't know. I like this one the least. I'm going to give this like a 3.
Yeah, I'll stick it with a 4. It's about on par with the first. I'll give it, it's got some flavor to it compared to the other two. So maybe a 5.
Well, that's what we got here. I like this Bell's Too Hearted better.
Yeah, kind of. I thought this trip to Belgium today would be a little bit more exciting. I'm sorry you got stuck with this subpar trip to Belgium. Yeah, it's just not doing it for me. I was really excited about it since last week. We've been repping it, being like, go get your six pack, but nah. And I'm sure if anybody actually went and got the Brew Chat six pack, they're sitting at home listening to this, be like, yeah, this shit's subpar, dude.
Hey, this is 4 years old.
Yeah. So, what kind of beers do you normally like to drink? What's your style?
I like the darker stuff. I like stouts and porters and then maybe like a Saison. I've kind of turned the corner on sours now. I can appreciate a good sour. Mm-hmm. IPAs are my general like no fly zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people.
Was that just too bitter or?
It tastes like licking a bar of soap to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
I should have gotten something else for the sipping beers. I'm sorry.
I will still drink an IPA on occasion. Like, don't get me wrong.
There's still booze in here. Yeah.
Right. No, I can appreciate and like differentiate between them. And there are a couple that I genuinely like. I'm not typically going to walk into a, you know, brewery and order the IPA immediately. I might put it in a flight just because I'm trying to develop my palate and appreciate them more. And I feel like I've come a long way. I feel like I should pat myself on the back for that.
Nice job.
Thank you. But yeah, that's the one redeeming factor of winter to me is really good stouts and porters being available. Yeah.
See, I come from the opposite end of the spectrum where I had to really learn to like those.
Really?
And it's through doing this that I have learned to like them because for so long, everybody was, Guinness says that is the stout.
No.
And Guinness is shit. And like Brian Bender, a listener of our, one of the Barley Mob, he'll defend Guinness, but Guinness is shit. And I don't like it. So it took me a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't like that real heavy, full bodied because I want to be able to drink more than one. Mm-hmm. But I like the rich flavors you get, like the coffees and the chocolates and the vanilla and all that good stuff. Yeah. But I've had to learn to like that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not learn as much. Maybe the learning curve wasn't as bad as I thought because I was coming from Guinness. But yeah.
Yeah, I drank like all the awful college beer all through college and didn't really like any of the craft beer that I was trying because I didn't know what I was getting. I just grab a random pack and then drink one.
I didn't know
what I was doing, didn't know anything about it. And I lived around the corner from Tremont Tavern for a long time. And so I started doing the thing where they had like the sheets behind the bar. I don't even know if they still do that or not, but I just started doing that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if Tremont does anymore, but...
But yeah, I started doing that just to kind of try and expand my horizons and force myself to try some different stuff. And I'm really glad that I did that because then I could just go in and have like one beer and try it and be like, okay, here's what I like about it. Here's what I don't. Mm-hmm. And try a big variety. And it kind of got me to figuring out what I liked and didn't like that wasn't cheap college crap, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What was the first beer that you tried that you were like, holy shit, I like a beer now. Hell yeah. I like a beer. This is my beer.
That's a good question.
Not just the first beer you liked, but like the one that you were like, I've got a brand. I've got a brewery I like, you know, like that was PBR or Budweiser or whatever. Because I think mine was probably Red Stripe or Stella Artois.
Like but your go-to?
Like the first one you find. Like you may have been drinking beer for a bit at parties and stuff, but it was just kind of this pissy smelling thing that you didn't really understand. Mm-hmm. And then you finally hit a beer that for whatever reason, it just, it does it for you. And then you know, like, oh, I know I can buy this brand and I'll like it. What was that one?
That was for me. I was an exchange student in Switzerland in high school. And there was a brand called, I think it was Cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm pretty sure it's quite, like I can picture the bottle and the label in my mind. I'm trying to remember the name now. I don't think I've ever seen it here, but I'm pretty sure it was Cardinal. And that was my jam. Yeah. I really liked that. And probably the closest equivalent would be like probably Miller Lite. Cause when I came home, then kind of tried all like the cheap beers, just kind of like all the really light stuff. And I was like, all right, Miller Lite, I can do this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But as far as like good beers, I don't really remember off the top of my head, honestly.
I remember the first time, it was when I turned 21, I just discovered that you could buy all these different beers at World Market. And this is before like Food City, which was then Bilo, I think, before they actually had beers.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to World Market and built me a six pack when I turned 21. I wasn't living here though. I was living up towards Nashville. And I got a Warsteiner and I was drinking them at my birthday party and I had no idea what I got because I knew jack shit about beer. I just grabbed labels that I thought looked cool. I was like, this looks interesting. This looks interesting. And most of them were good, but that Warsteiner was just so goddamn dark.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I could drink it now and handle it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just a real rich European
stout.
Like it was, But I remember it being so bitter, like 99.9% dark chocolate bitter, mm-hmm. like just whoa, dirt.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I like it. Oh, it
sounds. But yeah, it was a Warsteiner stout.
Nice.
And yeah, it was good, but I could not handle it at the time. I remember I took one sip and I was like, I asked my buddy, I was like, dude, do you want this? Like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And then the rest of the night, it was like Red Stripes and PBR and mm-hmm. all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. See, we had a couple bars right off campus. I went to college in Northwestern Maryland, the little thin part there. And we had a bar, several bars, right on Main Street. One of them, the Draft Zone, had Red Sky at Night, which was a double IPA. That shit was intense. It's like 7.5% or 8%. And we would go and get pitchers of it. And just down pitchers of Red Sky. And they don't make it anymore because they replaced it with Red Sky at Morning, which is brewed with like port wine or something like that. It's the same kind of way Dogfish has like the 60 minute and the 70 minute or in like the 71 or whatever, because their 70 or 71 is brewed with wine. Hmm. And I mean, then they've got like the 90 and the 120. With the different alcohol content and stuff like that, but that shit was intense. And they don't make it anymore.
Sounds really good.
It was really good.
Okay, not to interrupt here, but the beers we've had tonight have been sitting out for a minute. Mm-hmm. And see, I'm trying to think what this is the first one we poured.
Yes.
Which was where was that one? That was right that here. Was the
Tool.
Yeah, the
Tool. Goes to Hollywood.
Yeah, goes to Hollywood. It smells like McDonald's French fries and onions now.
Well, that sounds
stop
terrible.
It. All right, I'm gonna need another pour of that. If there's any left.
Yeah. I'll let you pour it because we'll see if you can do this any better. Yeah.
I feel like I'm on trial here.
Maybe since it's cooled down.
Yeah, it's warmed up. Yeah. No. Chilled out. Yeah.
Nope.
That's about the same.
No luck.
Smell that though. Do you not get a French fry smell out of that?
Yours smells different than mine.
Okay, hang on.
Smell mine. But actually kind of, yes, a little bit of the French fry smell.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah I get it.
Yeah, it's like a French fry and onion smell at McDonald's.
Yeah, I do kind of.
Specifically McDonald's fries. Like you get that saltiness, which would, you know, it's a Goza, so mm-hmm. that would make sense. Gozas are salty, but it's weird. I mean, it's not like gross or anything, but it's just weird.
I think I like this still.
It's fucking weird.
The best out of these.
I kind of like it now that it tastes like French fries.
Do you have a craving for a Big Mac now?
Let me try that.
Well, I'm trying not to. I can't do a Big Mac anymore. I've decided I'm going to give a new diet. I've never dieted before. Mm-hmm. And it's not to lose weight necessarily. It's just, I'm 30. I was like, I need some discipline. I can't just keep eating whatever I see. I don't have that 20-year-old metabolism anymore. I can't just keep like, yeah, that looks good. Yeah, you guys want to go to Taco Bell? Yeah. You want to stop at McDonald's on the way? I can't do that anymore. I'm trying a diet, like a low carb thing, mm-hmm. and I'm going to see how it goes for a month.
Mm-hmm. How far are you in now?
About 2 days. Yeah. But I feel great so far. Nothing's really going on. But the no bread thing is the big thing for me. And I get carbs
beer
from this,
count.
But yeah, beer is not counting in this because I found out it metabolizes differently in your liver. So it doesn't necessarily process the same way as bread does, mm-hmm. even though it's the same sort of calories.
Convenient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So no bread. We're going to see how it goes. And I'm part Italian, so I like my pastas.
Didn't you say no cheese too?
No, fuck that. No, cheese has got the fat. So.
I'm going to say if you're 2 days in, you're like, I feel great. I'm giving you like 4 or 5 more days and you're gonna be like ripping the curtains off the windows, just like tearing all the house plants off the shelves.
I need a loaf of bread.
Somebody give me pizza.
Give me a fucking bagel. Yeah. So yeah, the no bread thing, because I like bread. I like crackers. I like bagels, mm-hmm. but I'm not a big sweets person. So, mm-hmm. but the plus side of that is whenever I get to the point of where I've thought ahead of this about that scenario. Mm-hmm. It's like when I get to the point, it's like, God damn, I want some spaghetti or I want a sandwich or some toast. I've got a big steak I'm going to make.
Okay.
So, like toast.
Well, it's not like toast at all. It's just, it's to sort of counterbalance.
It's like a treat yourself right. because yeah. you're not eating a bagel.
You can't have that bread you want. But you can have that. You can steak. Eat this whole fucking steak if you want. And I like steak way more than bread. So mm-hmm. I'm okay with that trade-off.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Never mind the arteries. Yeah. It'll all balance out eventually.
Yeah. Well, it does. It, yeah.
Okay, pro tip.
Yeah.
Zoodles. You got to get a zoodle maker.
What is a zoodle? What the fuck
what?
Is that?
Oh, no, we need to know about this thing.
Join the cult of zoodles, gentlemen.
Okay. How do you spell zoodle? I see you about to try and write it
it's
down.
It's like noodles, but with a Z on the front.
Okay.
Because they're made with, wait for it, zucchini.
Oh.
Yeah, right? So you can get just like a cheap little, like, you can get super fancy, like, electric ones, but you can get like $10 one on Amazon. And it's like manual, and it just like spiralizes, I mean, any number of different things.
I think I have one of these doohickeys, actually.
It's really good. You can make like everything that you would make with pasta, like pad thai or just like spaghetti or whatever. Really good.
And with like squash, zucchini. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've got one of these in there because I like to cook and I like to dick around with stuff. So I'm pretty sure I've got one of those in there.
Just sitting there waiting for you.
No, I do, man. I mean, I've got a pasta maker. I know you've got a pasta maker.
I have a pasta maker, yeah.
But it's like you've just got shit.
Well, the zoodle maker, you have to reframe this in your mind. The zoodle maker is now your pasta maker.
Yeah. Right.
Just think about it like that. I'm going to make some pasta.
But can you make like ravioli with it? Because my pasta maker has a ravioli attachment. So you can like, you put it in there and then you stick some ricotta and you just like close it up.
Ooh.
And then yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
If I do the month and I like the month, because the big reason I'm doing it is not to lose weight. It's just I need a healthier eating lifestyle is mainly it. I'm laying a good foundation so I don't die.
We'll start with red meat.
Let's make some good habits. And no, it's a good diet what I've been reading, man. And it's just laying a good foundation so I don't die later on. And it's there's no sweets or breads or anything. Mm-hmm. So
I remember turning 32. I feel like I went through a thing like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just don't die. And well, I just had a family member die, so I was like, like it's real. I'm getting older, you know. And it's also to help my dad. I'm trying to get him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's like he needs to diet. Mm-hmm. Not that he's super obese or anything, but like I'm trying to get him to live a healthier lifestyle because my mom is. He needs to live a healthier lifestyle. So it's sort of to I need to, and it was like a 1-2 punch where I was like, I can help him and make me healthier. Like, let's do this.
That's awesome.
And, cause I'm like, motherfucker, you're going to survive. Like, cause he quite literally is a motherfucker.
By definition of being a dad.
Yeah. Right.
Got it.
So that's my spiel. That's I didn't want to necessarily go off on a tangent about a diet.
I wish you luck with this.
You got to do what you got to do.
We'll see. I've never done it. I've never done a diet before.
Please,
so we'll
please
see.
Report back in 4 to 5 days.
Yeah. I'm
we get on here next week and I'm emaciated and just grouchy.
The cat's hiding in the closet. Yeah. Refuses to come out.
You've attacked her several times.
Just trying to eat her.
I like it raw.
He likes it raw. Really.
Come over, you're just like holding her.
I think it'll be good though, because I can eat a lot of nuts, which I like to eat already.
Yeah.
I can eat a lot of cheese. I can eat meat and a lot of veggies. I like all of that. Thanks. I was eating all that anyway.
Good luck.
Just with a bunch of bread on top of it. Like a ton of bread on top of it, because bread's awesome.
Isn't cutting out bread the same thing as the Atkins diet?
Maybe, I don't know.
Are they just calling it something else for...
Maybe, I don't know.
I think Atkins was like bread and like all sugars that you couldn't eat, like fruit or anything like that either.
Well, that's... Okay. Well, I don't
know. Maybe that was South Beach. I don't know.
I don't eat
meat. Yeah, that might actually be Atkins diet.
So I don't... This diet wouldn't work for me. Well, I can get protein.
How do you get your protein? Do you eat beans and stuff?
Beans and corn and tofu has lots of protein and stuff like that. There's protein in cheese and all this stuff. So you get it from it. Nuts.
Mm.
Like you, I love nuts.
Nuts are great, man.
Yeah.
I
just scarf them down.
Dude, when I got groceries today, I had a big old sack of nuts walking out of that store.
Nice.
Like just, it was good. It was like 2-3 couple different jugs of nuts.
I'm surprised you didn't double fist the nut sacks that's coming out the door.
Well, I only had one sack.
Anyway, we keep it highbrow on the show.
Yeah, we're super highbrow here. Yeah. The beers lead into that.
Got it.
Yeah, you can tell.
Into the classiness.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this is gonna be one like channel of promotion for Bruce Guys that really hope we're reaching some folks that want to buy some tickets and like enter their home brews. Mm-hmm. Not sure it'll go out to the entire membership of Rotary.
That's the thing is, I tell everybody. Well, I'll get to this in a minute. But funny story that I'll get to in a minute. But yeah, I don't blame you. I tell everybody, it's like, they're like, oh, you do bro chat, you do the. It's like, we've got the video stuff, which mm-hmm. is PG-13. Mm-hmm. And then we've got this, which is R. Mm-hmm. We like to cut up, joke around on here. It's kind of a release for us. Mm-hmm. And also, we found that people honestly just kind of like listening to that.
Although to be fair, I think testicle jokes are still PG-13.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I think it depends on terminology, really.
Okay. Yeah. Once you start calling them nuts.
Yeah, you would hit me up and you asked if Catherine could join. Catherine Winland was going to join us, but she wasn't able to, unfortunately. And you hit me up. And knowing that the Rotary Club is a little bit of an older crowd, I was like...
A lot of them are. We've got... Yeah. I swear, there's some, like, young, cool people guys. Yeah.
Like, not like that. It was just like, when you hit me up about that, I was like, okay, shit, I need to look up who this is. And I didn't even connect the name Winland, because there's a billion of them. It's like... Really? At that point, yeah. I mean, there's Joe, there's Brian, Catherine. Like, they run the Heaven and Ale,
okay,
like, thing, all of it. And it's just funny. It reminds me of the old names like Smith. Like, oh, you're beer people. That's just what your family does, beer. And they're good people, though. They're all good people.
They are.
And I just didn't connect the dots there. And I was like, and I was trying to formulate a message that was nice, but just trying to be like, yeah, they may not like our humor, so they may not exactly get it. Because I assumed it was an older person for some reason. And then I looked it up and immediately connected the dots. I was like, oh, that's Joe's wife. Yeah, I'll be down there interviewing Joe earlier in the day. Like, shit, yeah.
Yeah. Tanner was like, oh, well, yeah, no, I know Joe. I'm going to be down there right before we're recording this podcast interviewing Joe.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, funny, because Catherine and I are meeting with the rest of the Bruce Guys committee at Heaven and Ale immediately prior to this podcast. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, on the way, he left before here, and I guess he hadn't got the memo that she had canceled, but he was like, have fun with my wife tonight. I was like, ah.
That's weird.
Yeah, all right, will do. No, he was great, though. We were down there filming, because we've got all this this big push for Chattanooga Craft Beer Week coming out.
Awesome.
Like, we've got a video every day coming out.
When is it going to be again?
It's, what was it, May 16th 12th. Through the 20th?
May 12th through the...
It's the 16th.
Well, it's a week.
Yeah, it's a full week, but I think it's 16th through the 20th.
Well, that's only 5 days. That's
you're right. I don't math.
That is not a week.
Yeah.
14th through the 20th?
Maybe 14th, yeah. 14th something like that. It kicks off with Chattabrooga.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Chattabrooga is that Saturday, and then Sunday starts Craft Beer Week.
Fun.
So, and yeah, 7 videos. We're going to have a different video every day. So we've been hitting different breweries and stuff around town.
Awesome.
And we were down there today, and it was a really good time. Like, they are, I don't like to play favorites, but they're fastly approaching maybe one of my favorite beers or breweries. Yeah. They're good. They're doing good
stuff.
Pretty
good. They really are. I've liked that place ever since the tiny one, just like the tap house.
Yeah, it was just a good vibe.
Mm-hmm. I was there opening week. I got the little frequent buyer card. They gave me the stuff. They didn't even have food there. They didn't even have like little like chip packs or whatever that they had for a bit. And like, it was great.
Good people.
There were no seats there. Good you could just go. You they are good get people. Your growler and you kind of go. Was how it was when they first opened. And now they have this brewery that's amazing. It's huge. And they have, what, 2 locations?
Not for the brewery. They've got 2 locations, a third coming on Southside for the tap room, tasting room. And then they've got the full-on brewery that's down here on the North Shore. And they just, it's amazing, that space. I love that space.
It's like, such a cool space. Looking out, like, I never would have thought about that piece of property on the North Shore, that the one side of that kind of warehouse building has this amazing view of downtown and the skyline and everything. They did a really cool job with putting the big kind of like glass rolling door in there. So you can enjoy that view. It's kind of a different perspective than you get from anywhere else downtown.
Did you ever notice that building it's in though, before they were in there?
No,
I didn't either.
Well, no, I went in there. There used to be like an outlet kind of deal for a home furnishing store. I think it was that same building.
That's what everyone keeps telling me. Is like, yeah, there was like a furniture thing in here. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know, but I didn't notice it. That's all I keep hearing.
I think it was that building. Yeah. It was in that area. But yeah, they've, it's a great they've really spot, revamped though. It now. It's pretty cool.
No, it's an incredible spot. And they've got room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've got a ton. I mean, they can double their brewery any day they want. Yeah, let's order twice the tanks and twice everything. Mm-hmm. We've got plenty of room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, we were down at Big River the week before this one. And, I mean, they've got half the space, but they're putting out twice the beers.
Really?
I feel. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not twice the beers, but they're on par. Like
Big River?
Yeah.
Big River.
But they're also canning and doing way more distribution.
That's true. Yeah. When I was working at Big River, I was a server at Big River for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time we had 10 different beers on draft. That was a bit.
Yeah.
But that was the max that I saw. And I think over at Heaven and Ale, they've probably got at least 12. But again, you said they're not canning and distributing.
They like to have 16. That's how they usually roll. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a nice selection. Their beers are really good.
No, I love that Supreme they have.
So good. Yeah.
My God.
So good.
Yeah.
I liked what's it called? Damn, I can't remember the name. Like the Jackhammer or the evil sledgehammer, like demonic sledge, a demon hammer, maybe? Demon hammer?
Demon hammer, maybe.
Something like that.
That's a lot of synonyms.
That's a good one. Yeah. Lots of things, but yeah. Some kind of hammer or smashing device. And something evil to go along with it.
Mm.
It was a good one.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Nice.
But we are quickly approaching our time, though.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you want to give us like a rundown of any details anybody needs to know about Bruce Guys real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So tickets are going on sale to the general public March 1st, Thursday, March 1st. So be looking kind of mid-morning. We've got a Facebook event set up, so that's the best way to kind of follow along with announcements. We'll be doing features on sponsors and all the different breweries and homebrew teams that have entered, and kind of spotlighting those. So you can get a feel for what's going to be coming. So definitely follow the Bruce Guys Beer and Food Festival page on Facebook. You can get tickets. We'll have them on Eventbrite and integrate that with the Facebook page. So you can just do it all there within Facebook. Or go to our club's website. You can go to brewskiesfest.com. So brewskiesfest.com. And that'll just redirect you to the Chattanooga Breakfast Rotary Club website. And you can get all the details there for vendors, homebrewers, breweries, food teams. You can link to the Eventbrite site to buy tickets. Excuse me. And also sponsorship info. We have several sponsors so far, but would absolutely welcome more. So come out and support our club. We'd really appreciate it. So we'll see. March 1st. March 1st to general public. We sent out a link about a week before general public sales to the 300 people who bought tickets to last year. It was an inaugural year, unproven event. We knew that we were going to pull it off, but I mean, it was a really small first time festival.
Yeah.
It really did. We sent out a survey afterwards and just got overwhelmingly positive feedback. That's and great. So we just said, all right, we appreciate you taking a chance on this unproven event. And so, as thanks, we'll give you early access to tickets next year. So, nice. The folks who went last year have had their opportunity now already to buy their tickets. And, then we'll release the rest at this point on March 1st. And we're still signing up beer and food vendors. So we'd love to hear from you. You can sign up, on the website, brewskiesfest.com.
Nice. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Just kicked the table. it was great having you on the show. We like having people. You're a great conversationalist too. You can do the back and forth with us. Some people get a little like, they're like, oh, you guys are like doing all the talking. That's cool. And
I like words. But, thanks for letting me use words.
Yeah, no, always use some words. Yeah, we have nice faces for radio. So thanks for putting up with that. I will go ahead and do some plugs. I guess we got. Riverside, like we were talking about at the beginning of the show, go ahead and see that. We have Big River doing their Fire Chief tapping party on May 8th with Nick Lutzko at 5:30. And like you were saying, Bruce Guys is on April 14th. We've got head on down to Riverside. And I think, let's see, check us out on all our social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the other ones.
It's Brew Chat, two T's. Yeah, I don't know. We got...
Brew Chat.
YouTube, Twitter, Instagram,
mm-hmm. Facebook.
Yeah. I mean, Facebook, whatever. Social media. It's whatever. Brew Chat 2Ts.
Can I get in one more plug
here?
Yeah,
go for it. Yeah.
Not really a plug, just a really brilliant idea that I've had multiple people who have bought tickets in the early sale round come to us and tell us they're planning on doing. The same day is the Cleveland Bacon Festival in Cleveland, Tennessee. And it's from 12 to 5. And then Bruce Guys is 5 to 9.
5 to 9. Oh, man.
And I've talked to multiple people who have gotten tickets to both events. And they're like, this is going to be the most epic local festival day ever. Oh, beer and bacon all day long. So I'm kind of digging on that. So I would highly recommend.
That's actually a really good idea, too. Because you build a nice foundation. Yeah. You get like a bacon lining for your stomach. Just fill it up with beer. Let that the two grease just fortress get to know each other.
Grease fortress. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. The grease
fortress. You build the grease fortress and then you blow it down with beer. But as always, this has been the Brew Chat Podcast. Natalie, thank you for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me.
And it's been a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we will see you guys next time.
Woo.